Open your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to two places. I want to preach on the blood, and I think I was supposed to go some other places next month, but I don't know if I can get out of this yet. The more I see in the blood, the more revelation comes to us. But I want you to go to a couple places today. Let's start in Hebrews 12:24, if you don't mind. Hebrews 12:24. If you're visiting, glad to have y'all. Glad you're with us today. You can fill out a visitor's card, and sometime in this service we'll take an offering, I'm sure, and you can drop your card in there. We love having you today. Verse number 24 says this: to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So I just want you to back up and see one thing. It does what better than Abel? It speaks better than Abel. How many knows Abel's blood spoke? How many of y'all know we didn't know where his body was buried, but God knew where his blood was? How many of y'all understand that it was God that came down to the field that he was slain in, and he began to approach his brother Cain because of what? The blood spoke to him. Now, we've been preaching about the blood, and we've heard the old school talk about, and I guess I am old school. We talk about, in old school, pleading the blood. I plead the blood. I hope before we get done with this blood series or whatever God does with this and what you want to call it, I hope we're speaking the blood over our finances. I hope that we begin to speak the blood over our children, over our families, over our mamas, over our daddies. We begin to speak the blood of Jesus over our jobs. I believe that Jesus' blood is an active anointing that is in this house this morning. You're not going to get to heaven because you're pretty. You don't get to heaven because you come to church. You don't get to heaven because you tithe. You're not going to get to heaven because you worship on the right day of the week. You're not going to go to heaven for those reasons. You're not going to go to heaven just because you confess Jesus as Lord. If there's no blood sprinkling, you can do what you want to do and say what you want to say, and there'll be no change in you. We have, by and large, bypassed the blood of Jesus in the kingdom of God, and we've gone down to what you say about it. If you just come and say Jesus is Lord, you can come say what you want to. But if we don't recognize how we got saved, then we just wording some stuff. We're just mouthing some things. I believe we need to get a healthy understanding of the blood of Jesus. We need to understand what the blood does. You need to understand that there's life in the blood, the Bible says. You need to understand that nothing is redeemed outside of the blood. Amen? One of the reasons your family stays jacked up is because you're good religious people. There's a difference in religion and revelation. You can live in religion and be comfortable in Auburn. But if you ever hook up vertically, if you ever get vertical anointing working in your life, something that holds you upright, what brings you here is not because you're religious, but because there's a revelation of who you are in Christ by his sacrifice, by the blood of the Lamb, and you've got a vertical relationship, baby, you're going to have trouble horizontally. See, some of y'all think everybody's going to be happy because you got a vertical relationship. Everybody I find in the Bible that got vertical with God had horizontal issues. So the Bible says that this is New Testament. We're going to go Old Testament also, but I wanted you to be able to underline this mark in your Bible. The Bible says Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. I just want you to process that Jesus' blood is alive and active. The Bible says when he died, he took the blood to heaven. Your Bible says that you have access to God by the blood. Matter of fact, before we go to Genesis chapter 4, I want to just give you some ideas about the blood. Just a few things that you could find anywhere. Number one, redemption is by the blood. The Bible says the church of God was purchased in his own blood. The Bible says we have redemption through his blood. The Bible says we are redeemed by the precious blood. And it's also the problem in the book of Hebrews is when you trample the blood of Christ underfoot. See, there are some of you people saying, well, I'm unsaved, I'm always saved. I'm going to help you on this. You can't have one point of Calvinism without all of it. If you believe you're once saved, always saved, you got to believe that you were predestined to be that way and you had no choice. You can't take one point of Calvinism and make it work. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you some theology. I'm trying to help you out just a little bit. You can't pick one point and say, that's what I'm going to believe, because it all falls together. Or you got to make up your mind that Jesus is the one that saves you, and you had to accept his salvation, which puts you in the issue. But I'm going to go back and say this one thing. I don't think you're ever going to be saved unless you understand that it's Jesus saving you, because he never was lost. You were lost. He found us. So there is some hope in this issue. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. The Bible says in redemption, the Word of God says that we were purchased for God with his blood, and we are men from every tribe. He is the propitiation. It's mentioned four times, but at least one time it says this, that God displayed Jesus as the propitiation in his blood. He is our mercy seat. There's cleansing in the blood. The Bible says the blood of Christ will cleanse your conscience. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and they wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says there's forgiveness by the blood. That redemption through his blood and forgiveness of trespasses, Ephesians 1:7. Hebrews says it this way, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Revelation 1:5 says that we have been released from our sins by the blood of Jesus. The Word of God says we have access, Ephesians 2:13, that I am brought near to God by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19 says, I have confidence, and so do you, to enter in the holy place by the blood of Jesus. I have reconciliation. Colossians 1:20 says that I've been reconciled and made peace through the blood of the cross. I'm justified, having been justified by his blood. Sanctified. I'm going to help you on sanctification. Some of y'all need to get blood sanctified before you try to get your own sanctified up. If it's just you getting sanctified, then that's of works. You better start with the blood and then move from there. Y'all still tracking me? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, 12, that he might sanctify the people through his blood. Revelation 12:11 says that we have conquest over evil. They overcame because of the blood of the Lamb. It is the basis of the new covenant, Hebrews 13:20, through the blood of the eternal covenant. And the Lord's table is set because of the blood. He says, this is the new covenant in my blood. And this cup of blessing is a sharing in the blood of Christ. I just want you to know that the blood of Jesus is necessary for what we're doing this morning. You don't go any deeper, any further in Christ until you get a hold of the blood. And there are a lot of us that aren't very deep today because we've got a little bit of preaching and a little bit of word, but we've not recognized the blood, and that's the very cornerstone. I mean, that is the keystone. That's what holds everything together if he had not shed his blood. Look in the book of Genesis chapter 4. How many of y'all do remember the book of Genesis? The Bible speaks in theology, you will learn of types and shadows. Now, a shadow is something that's given off. Like, I don't know if y'all can see it, but the lights behind me are putting a shadow on the floor of Mike Wright. Now, that shadow's not me, but it's an image away from me that is of me. It's only seen because of what is behind me. But if there's light behind me, then there's a shadow cast in front of me. So I'm going to help you on types and shadows just for a second. I want you to know that Adam and Eve is type and shadow, that Cain and Abel are type and shadow, that the shedding of the blood of the Lamb in the fourth chapter is type and shadow, that the skins put on Adam and Eve in the third chapter is type and shadow of something coming. Amen? So let's just read out of chapter 4, about 10 verses here. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And she said, I've acquired a Zera of God. Now your Bible says man, and man is Ish, but God promised her a Zera. He said, you'll have a seed, and your seed is going to conquer the enemy. Your seed is going to bruise the head of the enemy. Just hold on just a second, listen to me. Do you not think when she got pregnant that she didn't believe that what was in her was the Messiah? Excuse me. Y'all with me? I just lost about three quarters of you. God promised her. God spoke to her audibly and said, you're going to bear a seed, and the seed of woman that's coming forth is going to bruise the head of that serpent that sucked you in. It's that that's going to be in you. Okay, look, let me back up and say it another way. Some of y'all wanting someone else to do something for you when what's for you's in you. If I could just get to the right prophet, you can get to whoever you want to get to, but God's deliverance is in you. And our problem is we don't look for it. I believe that when she got pregnant, she thought, this is the deliverer. Now, the Bible's not clear on these boys, except we know that Cain was first. Some people say maybe even they were twins, because she birthed one and birthed another, and it doesn't say that her husband knew her again. So, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we know Cain's first, we know Abel's next, but let's a little bit further. And then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. I want you to pay attention to what goes on here. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Listen to what God says here. This is interesting. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Put on your thinking cap. He had no reason to be angry. God said, why are you angry, right? Y'all still with me? So God knows something here. There's something that Cain knew that we don't talk about. Cain knew what to offer. He knew what to offer. He knew about blood sacrifice. You need to read your Bible, because chapter 3 says that when Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus came, or the Lord came, God came looking for them in the garden, speaking for them. They were hiding themselves because they were naked. He knew they had sinned. And your Bible says he covered them in the bloody skins of dead animals. Okay, see, some of y'all went to Neiman Marcus and got a fur coat. Your Bible doesn't say that. Huh? Your Bible doesn't say he sewed a coat and made it nice and dry and pretty. Your Bible says he killed an animal and put the skin on him. See, we've made the Bible too clean, way too clean. We've taken the blood out because it's too offensive. And this is why people don't like Christianity, because there's too much blood shed. I'll say it one more time. If there's no shedding of blood, there's no sacrifice of sin. And we're going to take communion today, and I believe the blood speaks. I believe when I ask the Father to cover an issue with the blood, then the blood becomes my attorney and starts speaking about that issue. Okay. I just believe if you're sick and we pray for you and we say the blood of Jesus cover you now in Jesus' name, we thank you for the shedding of blood and we pray cover you. I believe when you walk out of the room, the blood is still speaking of better things than Abel's blood. I believe he talks about healing and deliverance. What do you think the blood talks about? Depends on what you apply it to. You ought to feel better if you plead the blood over your kids before they go to school. Because on the way, the blood's speaking. Your Bible says the blood speaks. New Testament says the blood speaks. Y'all still tracking me? So they had blood covering on them. That's what kept them in a place of forgiveness before God. And that was just a type and a shadow of what was to come. You need to put on your thinking cap. Because Adam had two boys, and understand that he transferred knowledge to them. Amen. He spoke to them. He told them what to do. We read chapter 4 and think, well, God just didn't even ask for an offering. They just kind of tripped up one day and brought an offering. So why was he upset with Cain? Wasn't about being upset with Cain. It was Cain being upset because he knew better. And this is the question God had for him. Y'all still with me? But he didn't respect, verse 5, Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? Watch what he says next. If you do what? If you do well, if you do what's right. Okay, back up again. How does he know what to do? Daddy taught him. He's heard this somewhere before. He knew what to do. And God didn't say, you got to go kill a lamb. He said, if you do what's right, if you do what's well, if you do well. You know what he says? Okay, just track me on this one. Will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and it's desirous for you, but you should rule over it. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but had I been Cain and knew that just getting a lamb from my brother and I could kill that lamb and that blood would sustain me, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'd be killing a lamb somewhere. The Bible says that sin had a desire for him, and all it took was a little bit of obedience to the blood. Track me. Verse number 8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they, underline a few things in your Bible, here's when you ought to underline, and when they were in the field. The field is where Cain worked and lived. Yeah, territory, his house. You need to be happy about what you just read. Because Abel is a type of the Lamb of God. No, see, you're looking at the Lamb. That is a type. But Abel's also a type. Because he goes to where Cain is. Come on now. He went to where Cain was. Do you know what Jesus did? He left from where he was to come where we are. He left heaven to come to the field. And we kill him. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass they were in the field, underline it, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now we get a lot of people preaching on that, and that's a good thought, but we're missing the blood. Verse number 10 says, and he said, what have you done? Now listen to what got God's attention. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says that Jesus' blood cries out of better things than Abel's blood. I've got a feeling Abel's blood said there's a murderer here. The sacrifice wasn't made. I've been murdered. And the blood speaks. Your blood speaks. His blood is speaking. I believe that Jesus' blood spoke of redemption and access and freedom and sanctification. We've read all of the scripture. His blood speaks. Touch someone and say he's talking right now. Yeah, if you'd believe that, you'd change the way you're walking. Some of you walk really close to sin. You're right on the edge. You're proud you are, and you've got just enough Jesus to know how to talk about him but not live for him. You can live exactly how you want to till you meet Jesus. And then it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what he's going to say. You're going to have to understand that the goal of us being washed in the blood is access for closeness and not a license to step away. The blood's not a license for me to live close to the world. It is an access to get closer to God. But we as the church have used it as a crutch and a help for people to limp along in sin and say, well, the blood's covering you. If the blood's covering you, baby, there needs to be some movement in you. And it needs to be away from the world and closer to God. That is your access. Say access. You need to understand, it is an access for us. He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out. So in chapter 3, verse 21, the Word of God says that God killed an animal and he put skins on them. And I just wanted to say bloody skins to see your reaction. Don't raise your hand on this one. But like, how many of y'all really thought he had a Carhartt coat? You know what I mean? Right? I mean, you thought. You assumed. Okay. I did. I will be honest. What'd you think? Yeah, see? Yeah, that God tanned it. We don't want the blood. We resist that. See, right now, you're resisting what I'm saying. You're trying to figure, is there a scripture I can go to and find out that he had buttons on that coat? I mean, you're working right now that God tanned it and made it clean and made it nice and covered them. No, no. He killed an animal and got the skin and covered them in the skin of an animal. Period. Isn't it nice to read the Old Testament again? You're not going to get a clean Jesus. You're not going to get a Jesus without a blood spot on him. As a matter of fact, your Bible says when Jesus comes again, he's coming on a white horse and white raiment, and it is dipped in blood. You will see blood from the Genesis to the Revelation. If you don't start getting it now, you're going to stay beaten up by the devil. You're not going to get delivered from drugs because someone prays a prayer and waves a Bible over your head. You're going to get delivered from drugs because the blood of Jesus cleanses you from sin and cleanses your conscience. You can quit anything in 21 days, but you can't get your brain straight without the blood. So we got the devil. The devil wants you rejoicing today. The devil wants you to rejoice over houses and raises. He wants you to rejoice over jobs and kids and cars and boats and guns. I want to get myself in there so y'all know that I'm with you. The devil loves for us to rejoice over those things. Look at me. I'm glad I got them. And God's a good God. But I'm not going to rejoice over stuff because stuff can be compromised. Your baby can die tomorrow. You can lose your house. You don't have to have a job. Your health can go. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You better have something that you're rejoicing in that cannot be compromised. You need to get a hold of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb and don't let it go because that's the one thing that the devil can't make compromised. It's important that you understand the blood of Christ. It's important that you understand that the blood is what brings us in. Now, you're going to argue a little bit because some of y'all saw your theological eyes just move around when I said those boys knew what to give. You know why? Because you've preached it the other way so much that you think you're right. Let's take a revelation and see how this fits. How does faith come? And hearing by what? How does faith come? Hearing what? How does faith come? Hearing what? How does the Bible say that Abel offered his sacrifice? According to Hebrews 11:4. Oh, you ain't saying it now. How did he do it? How did he do it? What did your Bible say? By faith. By faith. Abel offered a sacrifice. Well, just a minute now. You just told me that faith cometh by hearing what? He can't offer anything by faith unless he's heard it, unless God spoke to him, unless some way God told him. And the Bible says he offered a sacrifice by faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm telling you now, your access to God is by the blood. Your healing, your health, everything about you is blood soaked. Everything you got ought to be covered in the blood. What kind of sacrifice did Abel give? He gave one by faith. How do you have faith? By hearing. Hearing what? So just let me ask y'all a layman's question then. This would be the natural recourse for me. It's logical now that if he offered it by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, then it is very obvious that God told him what to do. And he did it by faith in the words that God told him. So when you read this book, quit looking like God's trying to spook you out and God's trying to sneak up on you and God's hiding behind the corner. No, baby, he's spelling everything out. He's not trying to catch you off guard. That's your enemy who deceives you, who goes about seeking whom he may devour. Your God says, I won't do anything until I talk to a prophet and let my kids know what's going on. So don't be reading the Bible and telling me God pulled the wool over Cain's eyes. Y'all still okay? You love me? There's another type and shadow there. Let me ask you a question. Under the law of Abraham, or not the law, under the Abrahamic blessing, the blessing is supposed to go to a certain son. The Abrahamic blessing goes to a certain son. In the lineage of sons, as they're being born, who gets the blessing of Abraham? Which one? The first. I wish you'd read about the patriarchs and see the first five of them didn't ever get first son blessing. It was always the second son that got it. You read your Bible, and Abraham had two boys, and the first one did not get the blessing, but the second one did. You'll read your Bible and you'll find out that Jacob was also a second born, and he got the firstborn's blessing. Do you want to know why? Because your Bible said God spoke to Rebekah and told her the youngest will rule the older. But wait a minute, Pastor. It's the firstborn. Okay, Abel was the second born, he got the blessing. Isaac's the second born, he got the blessing. Jacob, the second born, he got the blessing. Now, Reuben was in there, and he was the one in line for the blessing. But listen to me, at the time of the coat of many colors that Joseph would receive, he was the baby. Before Benjamin. Don't you love the Old Testament? I mean, it just sets order to your life. So, Reuben doesn't get it, but Joseph does. He gets the blessing. Yeah, you can go down even, there's another one. It's Judah's boys, Zerah and Perez. Do you remember that one? That's an unusual story, because your Bible says at the birthing of these twins, Zerah and Perez, at the birthing of these twins, that Zerah stuck his hand out first. And the midwife got a red cord and tied it around his wrist to let everybody know who was first out. But in the process of his hand being out, somebody snatched it back in. And then they burst it out. His name is Perez, and that means God of the outbreak or the breakthrough, God that can come through, and he's the second born, and it was Perez that got the anointing and not Zerah. Now you gonna tell me God's got a problem because he can't count and doesn't have order. It is precisely God's order. Can I give you one more? How many Adams are there? Help me. How many Adams are there? Where's the first one? In Genesis. Where's the second Adam? Huh? Bethlehem getting born. Coming down to the field getting born. And Paul says he is the second Adam. Who gets the blessing? The first Adam or the second Adam? It is the second Adam that gets the blessing. God knows what he's doing. Let me just give you one more thought on this. It'll be something you can think about later. These second choices, I just love this. They're second choice because they don't deserve it. It's not owed to them. They shouldn't have gotten it. In every case, they should have been overlooked. Oh, you ought to be amen and better than that. Because, baby, you weren't deserving either. And you were to be overlooked also. And so was I. But because God understands how he can change an order and say, I know it's a firstborn, but I'll give it to the undeserving one because the firstborn's not walking the way he should walk. And I've got a plan. Can I tell y'all something? He's got a plan for you. You don't deserve it either, but he overlooks to get to you. You're blessed today because he'll bless the secondborn. Amen? It's a type and shadow. Demons hate the blood. They hate me preaching about it because they know you're going to get free. The blood is a type of anointing. You anoint with blood. It's the sprinkling, like an anointing. You anoint with it. Isaiah says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. How many of y'all believe the blood can destroy a yoke on your life today? Oh, I know he can. I know he can. Because breakthrough is in this room. There's a Perez inside of you that says, I don't care who got tied something on their wrist. I'm coming out of this thing. I'm going to be the breakthrough. Do you know his name was mentioned even in David? When David was in a battle in Rephidim, and while he was there, he said, God's going to show up because he is Bel Perez. He's the God of a breakthrough. I don't care how big the giants are. There's a breakthrough. And I'm telling y'all this morning, it is the blood of Jesus. It's the order of God that you become the Perez of the breakthrough. Forget someone else's wrist. Forget who they are. Forget when they were born. Quit looking at preachers and thinking you fucking be that good. You need to look at us and say, your red tie didn't impress me. I got a breakthrough coming. And I don't care what's tied on you. I've got a breakthrough coming. Honey, I want you to be blessed, but this breakthrough ain't about you, it's about me. I mean, I want you a blessed and breakthrough also, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't get your spouse a breakthrough till you break through. You got to make up your mind about coming out of this thing. And that is a biblical principle from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Amen? The other point, and I've already made it, and I'll just chunk it one more time. In verse 8, it said that Abel came to the field, and I think I explained this well enough, that Jesus came to the field. In the Old Testament, the blood spoke. In the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews says, the blood still speaks. I don't feel saved. What does the blood say? I don't feel delivered. What does the blood say? I don't feel like I've got victory, but what does the blood say? If he's saying something better, if that blood is saying something better than Abel's blood, I got a feeling he's talking about deliverance and freedom and salvation and access. He's telling us to get up off of our face, graveling around with the devil's foot on our neck and take a stand that he is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and we walk under the shadow of the blood of Christ. You're not a victor because you prayed loud enough. You're a victor because of blood speaking for you. Lawyers will tell you if you're in court, you're the last one. If you're being tried, they won't on the stand. Do you know that? because you'll say something stupid. You'll get up there and condemn yourself. They'll twist your words. You'll get put, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been to court besides me? Yeah, three of you that are honest. How about the rest of you liars? Raise your hand. What I thought. So if you're in court and you got a lawyer you're paying, they're called, you know what a lawyer's called? He's called a what kind of piece? Mouthpiece. The blood has a mouth. And the blood speaks. And I'd rather keep my mouth shut until I let the blood talk. So when the enemy comes against me, I don't have to rear up and shout something at him right away. If I really believe the blood speaks, then that devil has got to get through a blood covering. That's why the Bible says you apply the blood to your doorpost and to the lintels, it'll drip down on the threshold, and the death angel cannot enter there, and I will pass over you. Can I help you right now? It's that same blood anointing that's over your life that speaks for you. This person's free. It says you can't come in. There's no access here because blood has covered my door. Every time I get tempted, I fall. You don't let the blood speak. Oh, yeah, no, I know I'm right. You go in your own head and talk. You go talk to you. And you tell you how you just got to have one more fix. You just got to have one more smoke. You just got to have one more fling. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you talk to yourself. Why don't you let the sanctifying blood talk? I mean, why don't you let the sanctifying blood, the clean blood, the blood of Jesus, the Christ of God, the blood that gives me access, the blood that cleanses my conscience, why don't I let that blood speak? That blood will say, this is clean, and this is delivered, and this is free, and you're not getting it. I stand guard. I'm the mouthpiece. Talk to me first. See, some of you parents are way too sweet. Because you won't bow up for your kids. I know I'm going to preach something. Y'all going to be mad. I'll get an email over it. Don't waste your time. I believe in turning the other cheek if it's about Jesus. But you mess with my babies, I ain't turning anything towards you that you can hit again. Call me what you want to. But I've made up my mind a long time ago that you don't touch my family. You're not going to touch my wife. You're not going to touch my children or my grandchildren. And I've done this before. I've stood and said, I speak for them. They don't have to talk to you. I'll talk for them. We didn't send our kids to the door and let them talk. I don't know what your blood is doing. But in Mike's world, my blood is passionately jealous for Mike's soul. The blood that's over Mike right through Jesus was blood he gave. He said, nobody takes my life. I give my life and I shed my blood. And without the shedding of this blood, there is no remission. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but my blood bows up against the enemy. It bows up against bad thinking. Says, shut that up. Let me speak for you. Amen? And I gave you a bunch of scriptures. I'll print them later if you want to, about what the blood says for you. The blood says that you're under the mercy seat. The blood says you're bought with a price. The blood says you are redeemed. The blood says that you are cleansed in your conscience. The blood says you're cleansed from all sin. The blood says you are redeemed. The blood says that you're released from the sins by the blood of Christ. The blood says you're sanctified. Let the blood say some stuff before you open up your mouth. Amen. And when you do agree with the Word of God. Agree with what the blood has done for you. Amen. How many has ever had a problem with grass growing where you don't want it to? I know, right? So I use a weed eater, and I can go around these concrete blocks. My wife is a slave master on some of this stuff. She wants all that grass up and around the front, you know, and make it look right. And And I try to get all the grass up, and it grows back up and grows back up. And I'm going to tell you something. You can pull grass up by the roots and it'll grow up again. Do you know why, Michael? Because it always leaves seeds. You don't see them, but they're there. And you pull them up, and it grows again. I'm talking like some of y'all now. I went to the altar, and it grew again. And I went to the altar, and it grew again. Can I tell you what I found out? Pronto. What is another one? Roundup. Huh? Weed be gone. How many has ever found those herbicides? Now I'm going to tell you about a herbicide. I've fallen in love with them. And that's this. I ain't pulling grass at that front concrete anymore. And if y'all have ever had the problem, you know what I'm talking about. I pull it until it bothers me. And now I've gone and I've got me some herbicide. And I go around those front and I spray around those little flower holders and I spray around that concrete. And when it starts dying off, as a baby, come look at the front. Look what I've done out here. Can I tell you something? It works the same way with the blood of Jesus. It is your spiritual herbicide against the seeds of the enemy that get planted every time there's an issue in your life. And you pull it out by the roots and you cry like a baby and you beg God to forgive you. And it comes back in 3 months. There's a reason. We're not utilizing the blood. We're doing our best confessions aside from the blood. Look at me. It ain't going to work. You will stay at an altar repenting over the same junk till you die. Till you die. Because it's not in you to stay free. It's in the blood that you're free. You're not free because you look pretty and gave a lot of money today. You're going to be free because of the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of the Lamb. You need to get it back in your vocabulary. You need to learn to raise your hand and say, I thank you, Father, that I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I thank you, Lord, that you came to my field. You died in my field. And your blood speaks. Can I say it again? He came to our field. He died in our field. His blood was shed in our field. His blood is eternal because it's new covenant. Blood is eternal. His blood is eternal because it's covenant blood. It can't waste away after 2,000 years. Which means in this room is my field. And he died in my field and your field. Today you accept Jesus Christ, not because he's on Golgotha, but because he's in heaven, but he's in your field is why you can repent. He's come to your house is how you repent. He died in your field, spilled his blood, listen to me, and his blood saying something about you today. Yeah, but I'm a sinner. I don't care who you are. His blood talks about you. Yeah, but I quit serving God. I get it. I understand. If you were in my house, I'd kick you out. I get it. But I'm going to tell you what God does. God would just put his blood out there and say, start talking about that boy. That idiot right there. That one right there. He just can't get his heart right. He can't get his head right. And I went down to his field. And I died for him. And I want my blood to start talking. I want my blood to talk to the devil. I want my blood to stand up for him. I want my blood to speak to him. I want his heart changed. I'm just saying. Would you stand with me this morning, please?